day, and I'd like to thank you for this chance to be in church again, Lord. Now, Lord, I just ask that you're there with Kyle there, and that he speaks what you have him to speak, Lord. In your son's name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. I'll be in Proverbs 21, verse 25. You may remember from last week, we were talking about church kids. That was my send-off, was that we put a lot on church kids. We start with kind of the same raw ingredient, rotten kids, and then we just expect more out of them because they're church kids. That's not good for them. We gotta train them up. We gotta give them an opportunity to meet expectations. You can't just put expectations on somebody and expect them to figure it out. You have to put forth some effort to. You have to put forth effort to make it achievable, the goals that you have for them. So I guess church kids are the worst, but I speak it to the church as Shane. In this book I alluded to, Heather Hopps' Knights in Training, she talks about how boredom and creativity kind of go hand in hand. You need to give children a time to be bored so that they can be creative. And if you don't work that into their schedule, if you don't give them any schedule, if you don't give them any parameters, it's just a free-for-all. They're gonna find the way of the world. But if you put them in church and you you also give them time to be free, to be kids, that's an opportunity for them to grow up to be honorable, courageous, compassionate young men. But you need to kind of guide that creativity, and you do that through storytelling, through role models, and the like. So I apologize. I guess I actually want to start in Nehemiah chapter 4. So this was the jumping off point. This is where God asked me to pursue this further. So I was in Nehemiah chapter 4 in verse 13, and we looked at verses 13 and 18 that say, "Therefore said I in the lower places, behind the wall and on the higher places, and I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows." And then in verse 18 it says, "For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me." What I'd like to look at further is the 14th verse of that same chapter. "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." Tim, in that 14th verse, it says there, great and terrible, and does that say fight or fights?
It says fight.
Fight without an S, okay. Just making sure we're reading the same Bible. So the reason I ask that is that would change the context significantly. So if that were fights, plural, that would mean that God fights your battles for you, and that you could take a pacifist stance. You could say, "I'm never going to pick up a sword. I'm never gonna garnish a shield. I'm never gonna go into battle." But here it says that you're being instructed to fight for your brethren. I was having a bit of a flashback when I saw in that same verse it said, rose up. One thing that helped me significantly to be successful worldly is that growing up, I could maybe count on my hand the amount of times that I was able to sleep in. If I wasn't going to school, it was time to get up and find something to do. So my dad grew up on a farm, and that was the expectation, was that you had a good work ethic, that you labored with your hands, and if that's all you did, you would be successful. You just needed to stay busy. And so that consistency, it was a great blessing to me, that every day was the same thing. We were in school or we were at work. Now I'd like to go to Proverbs 21. Some of you were already there. I appreciate you taking the long way to get there with me. The 21st chapter of Proverbs, verse 25 reads, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." And Tim actually gave me a great analogy maybe a month ago now, but he talked about someone that didn't want to work so hard that they killed themselves by trying to take as few a trips as possible. You imagine taking wood from the wood pile into your house, you just bundle it up where you can't see what you're doing, and you just eat it. So that consistency of always being at work, and prevented that from eating that pile of wood. So these verses re-raised interest in the Knights in Training book I read a few years ago, and I believe it is a great resource for raising up young men, because we don't want to raise up typical boys. When we think of typical boys, we think of the inactive, the self-centered, the socially awkward, the attached to screens. I can just make a side note when we're talking about attached to screens. It's a good idea to limit the amount of screen time for your kids. It's also a good idea to, if you're gonna have them on screens, to pay for the ad-free versions of the games that they're playing, because what you're doing is you're conditioning them to have a short attention span, that's game, ad, game, ad, game, ad, and they become bored, that they can't perform a long series of actions. They want things right there. They play maybe two rounds of a game and then they're on to the next thing. So limiting has degrees, and you should be looking at exactly what, apart from those ads that you're seeing, they don't meet the same PG TV rating that you think that they would. There was a worst case example. There's a YouTube ad that had subcontext that instructed a 12 or younger child to stab their parents, and that was a so the point that I'm trying to make is that you don't know what they're watching. They might be playing Fruit Ninja, or you think they're just cutting up fruit, and then an ad comes that is telling them something that that is not biblical. Proverbs 22, that next chapter over in verse 6. Thank you for the water. Train up your children in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So, it's a bit of a open nerve, but sore for me. But I think of the young men that were raised in this church and that are no longer here today because they're not at the old part of this verse yet. They're sowing their wild seed and letting boys be boys, and it's certainly something that I was guilty of, is not taking action when I could have. And I'm sorry if that's a sour note. There's plenty of good fruit out of this church, and last week was a testament to that. But I think that there's a flip side of that. There are there's fruit that we're not seeing here that isn't in the pews today. So, but this book will point to a lack of role models being a cause of that effect. So you look at the example I gave was Lego's Emmett from Lego Movie's Emmett, or maybe a football player. You've got the instilled goal is to be successful enough so that you don't have to work anymore. And it shouldn't be that way. What we should be doing is establishing our role models as Jesus, Dad, and what I would like to propose is that the Knights of Old be that third role model. And that's really a challenge to the dads in this room, to be a ligament, a tension, a holder between Jesus on one hand and acting knightly in the other, in your day-to-day actions. We spend a lot of time looking at Jesus' acts, but what I'd like to look at today is knights like the great King Alfred. In 878 AD, there was a Viking king that came to England on like the 12th day of a Christian festival and just raided the countryside. And he would do that pillage and go back to his Nordic country and come back year after year. And eventually, the great King Alfred was able to contain that Viking troop. I think like they were down to like 20 guys at that point, a group of 20 Vikings. And the King Alfred showed mercy on that Viking king, and he was just blown away. He would say, "If the roles were reversed, I would have tore you limb from limb. How is it that you have this power?" And the King Alfred spoke to his Lord Jesus Christ and how he had changed, how he, his God, had died for him. And those Vikings came to Christ as a result of his actions. So they're great examples of actual people that live. They're not Batman or Iron Man, Optimus Prime. They're actual people that lived for Christ, and we can instill those characteristics in our young boys' playtime, that they could ascribe to be achievable, valiant young men. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 9, I'm reading the first verse of Mark chapter 9. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here and shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And just think of seeing the kingdom of God and history alludes to acts of God's hand. Things that you look at on a piece of paper and you can't help but say God was with them. I think of at one point there's a group of boats called the Spanish Armada, and they were like the United States Navy of their time. They were just unparalleled, and they came on to they were funded through. Never mind. So they stood against religious freedom. I'll say that. And the English people didn't really have. They had some skipper. They had some fishing boats, and comparatively, they were vastly outnumbered. But they were able to defeat the Spanish Armada through being faster in the water and a storm that came through and took out much of their fleet. So too are the testimonies of knights. They're sort of just small numbers against mighty numbers, but powered, having a power that doesn't lie in this world. Proverbs 19. In Proverbs 19, I'm going to be looking at the 15th verse. Carried away to the 18th verse. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and yet not thy soul spare for his crying. What Knights in Training promotes is active training, swordplay, jousting, archery, wrestling, things that would engage the growing growing body of the boy. And along with that activity, also reading of chivalrous knights like St. George, Lancelot, Roland. Some of those are fictional characters, but organizing growing duties for the squire to accomplish, getting the door for mom, standing on the right side of the street. I didn't even know what the right side of the street was until I read this. I guess you're... Wanton is an English word. It means like unbred. It's like barbaric. It's kind of like looking in a mirror a little bit hearing that word described. But carrying in the groceries, washing your hands for dinner, put away the dishes, help change the oil. Split wood. All these activities could be rewarded with model castles, armor, weapons. It seems like a lot of work, but it's a way to engage with our young men, and these rewards create understanding that there is something to this. There is something to living valiantly. There is reward for good activity. It's also said that, a lack of reward, not in this book, but in another book that I'm reading, a lack of reward creates liberals. So if everyone, goes to work, punches a clock, gets paid the same, shouldn't everybody get paid the same? Why should I try harder if everyone's getting paid the same? And this liberal mindset is something that we need to fight against. And the way that we do that is by instilling good expectations in our kids. So we need to create rewards. And dads, can I say that the best reward you can give your son is to spend time with him, to listen to him, to share in his hobbies. What's the best way to be rewarded from our Heavenly Father? I just have in my notes here, elaborate. So I'm gonna try to do that. You need to follow God's commandments to be blessed of God. You need this, and your heart needs to be right too. You can't do this because it's expected. You need to get from I have to do this to I get to do this. God is giving me the ability to do what mere men can't. Back when I was addicted to self-help books, you get a lot of good one-liners. One of them's from Jerry Rice, who's a wide receiver in the Hall of Fame, and he said, "I'll do today what others won't, so tomorrow I can do what others can't." So doing the little things, getting the door for mom, knowing the right side of the street, carrying the groceries, all those precepts, they allow God to shower these young men with blessings that they don't even really understand today, but they will fast forward on their first job interview, and they can speak to the opportunities that they've had to help out at church events and take care of the household, and how they've grown to be young men of valor, of distinction. Thought about skipping this verse in Mark 8, but I think it's too good to skip. In the book of Mark, chapter 8, and I'll be reading from verse 20. I'll say it's too good to skip for personal reasons. It really speaks to me. And when the seven among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Praise God. I was so family here. I was so effeminate in my beliefs. I think of um, I would believe God, I wouldn't believe God, I would believe God, I wouldn't believe God, and thank God he fixed them, he secured them to his word. I think of the dumb that do not speak. They are not able to, but I was willing to. I learned at a young age that I would get in far less trouble if I just kept my mouth shut. Plead the fifth. Like they taught it in government school, but I was learning it way. I was way ahead of my class. If mom just figures it out herself, she's only going to get 20% of it. I'll only get punished for that bit. So I'm just going to, lips are sealed, right? But that's not actually true. What's actually true is you accept and internalize your thoughts. You think you've got it all figured out because you're not talking through your ideas. And that's one of the joys of our Lost Boys Club, is that you can air out your thinking. You can say what you're thinking, and even in that moment, you can say, oh, wait, that's not right. And other times, someone will give you a verse to challenge the depth of that. That's a recurring theme of mine, is I get very, very shallow understanding, and it's deepened as a result of our time together. Other times, they provide a verse that supports what you're saying. It's few and far between, but it's a pick-me-up. It's been a great help. It's been a great help because I was willing to listen, to hear that. And that's, I think that although they're talking to a blind person in this verse, I think that that's the essence of what Mark is talking about, is that you, you're willing to do what God says. We've got a series of possible messages for our young men of character. The first would be found from 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, I'm going to be in verse 19. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own? And I see this as an opportunity to speak to what they would call in this book winning foods, the sugar-free, the actual vegetables, the fruits, the meat that is gonna it's going to give you the energy to go forth and fight those evils that beset our young people. And in Galatians 6:8, chapter 6, and I'll be reading verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reapeth corruption, but he that soweth the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So I see this as an opportunity to instill, I'll say, as someone that's currently homeschooling, gym class is probably the easiest to glance over. It well, they did their chores today. I guess that's good. I'll give them an 80 for participation. They didn't really go above and beyond, but I think there is value in it, and it's not so much in the actual activity, but the logging of improvement that you run ladders, or you do push-ups, sit-ups, a mile. I mean, for little guys, that maybe like a lap around the church or whatever, but it's timed, or you've got a metric. You did 2 minutes today, you did this many push-ups today, and next week you were able to do two more. And that improvement, that should be congratulated. Those milestones should be encouraged, rewarded. I've got a few more, but first, in the interest of time, we'll just jump to Mark 13. In Mark 13, in verse 8, it speaks of our future time, what we're... I'll say my dad did a great job of raising me for what he knew the world to be, but we're called to prepare our young men for the world that will be. We have prophecy. We know what's coming, so we need to congratulate those milestones, but we need to have a vision of the future and what we anticipate will be expected of them. So in Mark 13, verse 8, it says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up in councils, and in the synagogues they shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers of kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be published among the nations. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate whatsoever shall be given you in that hour that ye speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father, the son, and the children shall rise up against them, their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of men for my sake, but he that shall endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And when ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, understanding where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee in the mountains, and let him that is on the housetop not go down in the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field turn not back again for to take up his garment. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in winter, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation time God created unto this time be neither I'm sorry God created unto this time neither shall be." Are we raising men for this time? It's so easy to say, let kids be kids. Don't steal their childhood. And I think that there is a balance there. There's you'd be a fool to let them place somewhere where you know they could get hurt. Just to toughen them up, but we're going to need to raise tough kids that can lead in situations like our outlined here in Mark. This book does a great job of talking about a modern day, I don't know if it's a modern day phenomenon, but it's got a name now. It's called the bystander effect, and it's a sociological phenomenon. It means that people are less inclined to help when others are present, because they assume that someone else will intervene, that somebody else will fight their fight, that their actions cannot make a difference, or the risk of action is too great for their safety. Excuse me. The antidote for this phenomenon is telling your boys that they have a responsibility to act. She goes on to explain two train attacks with different levels of involvement from the passengers, and they both lead to at least a fatality. But the train where people were defensive, actively engaging the person trying to do harm, it was significantly moderated, and the reason that people rose to the occasion was that one person initially fought against that armed assailant. So it just took one person that was willing to act to break this bystander effect. So put into practice, if these boys are looking for ways to help, if they're looking to carry in a crock pot or get the door for a lady, they have a bias towards action, they'll be empowered to do other heroic feats like save a friend from drowning or stop a bully from beating a person. The tenets of this night code are to love the Lord your God with your heart and soul and mind, obey those in authority over you, stand against injustice and evil, defend and protect the weak, respect and honor women, refrain from wanton offense, speak the truth at all times, be generous and willing to share, persevere and finish the task at hand, and pursue excellence in all you do. And through, a lack of postal number employees, we don't have copies of this available yet, but I've ordered them, they're coming. I'm hoping that Pastor Hain will free up some space in the info corner for this book to be shared, and that we can get a commitment from our parents to see this as a privilege and a reward for our young men, to verify activity charts and to have conversations about the readings. The last verse here is in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Certainly it's Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm gonna be in the 19th verse. And ye shall teach them, your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thank you for your time.
Amen. Closing prayer.
Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for what a blessing your word is, and that that it can be a call to action, that we can act in such a way that is pleasant to you, that our actions could be a pleasing sacrifice to you. And we thank you for your word and your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.